Thanks for listening to The Kick-Ass Life with David Wood. Stay connected on Facebook / The Kick-Ass Life, on Twitter at The Kick-Ass Life, and of course at thekickasslife.com.
This is Andrea Owen, and you're listening to David Wood on The Kick-Ass Life Show.
Want to make your life better? This is the Kick-Ass Life Podcast with David Wood.
Hey, David here, and welcome to the Kick-Ass Life Show. This is the Thursday edition, which means I am definitely riding solo. And, you know, I received an interesting Facebook request from a guy. I'm just going to give his initials, MM. He said, I've been listening for about a year, and thank you for all the great shows. Would you be willing to do a show on how sons, daughters can cope with recent parent separations? I'm 32 and just found out my father has been unfaithful for over 20 years. And I looked, looked past tense up to him so strongly and am now crushed. Perhaps there are other people out there with a similar challenge. You always speak so calmly and positive about your current life situation and would love some guidance on how to handle this tough time. Sincerely, M. So, Mr. M, well, you know, here's an interesting thing, right? Obviously, I'm a child of, I think I mentioned it before, a child of divorce. I was only 7 when my parents divorced. I have watched, and I've been through a divorce as an adult, with my partner, Pam. In fact, we're still legally married, which is kind of interesting, but we have become great, great friends. Divorce has played an interesting role in my life. I think every single member of my family has been through a divorce at some point. None of my family have survived. The woman my father cheated on my mother with, he's still with her 45 years later. It was her best friend. So it was a pretty ugly divorce. So I'm going to get straight into this, and I'm going to do the best I can from a personal experience. But Mike, I'm really going to challenge you to sort of what can you do? Because it's really not about the divorce with your parents. I mean, you're 32. I get the idea that your father's been unfaithful for a long period of time, and I understand this crushing part. And I'm going to sort of try and address that the best I can. Do I agree with infidelity? No. I'm a believer in proximity being power. Is that I think a lot of people, there's a lot of reasons for infidelity. And I want to give you some stats, actually. So I'm just going to read this to you. So cheating statistics in the United States are increasing every year at an amazing rate. Long-lasting marriages or relationships seem to be harder to achieve and even rare. And this article, by the way, is by Lisa Penn. And this is from the Fox News Network. It says, when I first found out about my husband's affair with his coworker, one of the first things I asked myself was, am I alone? Am I the only one in my neighborhood that is going through this awful crisis? Do I know anyone else who has cheated or that's cheated on by her husband? So I'm talking about this for your mom's perspective right now. She said, searching for a little comfort, I went to find cheating statistics online. Here are some of the most astonishing facts I found. About 17% of divorces are caused by infidelity. She thought that's an amazing number considering there are so many other reasons for divorce. About 70% of married men admitted to cheating on their wives, which is incredibly high. Another study found that 2 out of 3 of women who are not aware of their husband's affair. And she says, I can relate to that. And it took a long time until I found out myself when I decided to check his phone. So what about women? Most statistics found that 50 to 60% of women admitted to having an affair. This one really shocked me, she says. Are there really millions of cheating women in the States? I never even imagined these statistics. Here's more statistics. Why do men cheat? I think that the first question that comes to a betrayed woman's mind is just why? Why did this happen to me? And why and how could he do this to me? An interesting study published in 2005 had some answers to this question. Dissatisfaction or general unhappiness is not NOT correlated with marriage infidelity. So it's not the unhappiness. She said sexual dissatisfaction is. The higher your husband is satisfied sexually, the lesser he's likely to cheat on you. Now this is another part. So it's not just that. And I know that, you know, your parents would have been a little bit older, but lower self-esteem and personal issues are likely to encourage infidelity. So the worse you feel about yourself. She says, if I get this right, it means the quality of the marriage doesn't affect the cheating potential, but more personal issues that are present around the marriage. This helped me realize that my husband's affair was not my fault. And I think a lot of people will blame that. So again, with that being said, Mr. M, I'm going to look at a few things here. I have a video clip right now of Dr. Phil talking about the pain of divorce. And it's really where I want to sort of take you, because you're asking me specifically about you. Obviously, your mom, your father have made their choices. And hopefully, you know, it sounded like by what you said in your last text to me, or your last Facebook post, I'm sorry, was that she's doing better, right? And a lot of, you know, again, I've watched so many of these things. I am not an expert. So I'm trying to bring you some clean, hard facts. But what I am an expert on is traveling through tough situations and coming out the other side with empathy, with forgiveness, and with clarity, and not allowing it to sort of soak into my DNA just because your father's been unfaithful to your mother for 20 years has no bearing right now on this moment for you. You can't go back and retrace those steps. Now, what you can do is begin a process with your father. And I'm going to talk about some of the things I personally would do. Again, these may not be, you know, from an expert perspective, but you've asked my advice. Before I do that, though, I want you to listen to Dr. Phil. He's doing a live Ustream chat on the pain of divorce. I just want to get a few things out in the open before we start. And I want to play a song and then we'll dig into it for the show. Now, again, if you haven't been through divorce and you're not planning to, that's awesome. I still find the show may be valid for you, because I think that what I'm going to talk about, and I have got nothing written down. So as you know how I do the show, I push record and I trust from my life experience that there is something in there that I can call upon, because I just put myself in Mr. M's position and say, okay, what am I thinking right now? I'm 32. Dad's cheated for 30 years or 20 years, I'm sorry. They're in divorce now. How am I feeling? So that's all I'm doing, Mr. M. I'm jumping into your shoes. What am I going to do about it personally as a kick-ass life practitioner? How do I travel and navigate these waters? Knowing, again, what we just looked at, you know, 60 to 70% of men, 50 to 60% of women find themselves in a situation where they will have an affair. What I find is, and how I keep myself safe is I never allow myself to be in a position where that can happen. So I don't allow myself to be alone with, I wouldn't sort of be sitting in a hot tub with a girl at night with a bottle of wine. You know, again, proximity being power. A lot of these things can't occur if you don't put yourself in those situations, because there has to be some moments of intimacy where you find yourself alone with someone, talking about your intimate relationship in a way where you're going to open a door for somebody else. So I do find if proximity plays a huge part in that, knowing again, if you add other factors in, where, you know, if you have low self-esteem or dissatisfaction, all these different things play a role. But then I look at, you know, me, you know, with what happened with my own marriage, and a lot of it was me. I just was not the person. I hadn't started doing any work in personal growth. I hadn't been to any programs. I hadn't started working on myself. I wasn't very happy with what I was doing. I wasn't very happy as a person. And, you know, I think that what happened in my own marriage was purely a reflection of what was going on inside myself. And I could have very easily traveled down the infidelity road if that had been more in my DNA. Obviously, having What happened to me as a child happened. It wasn't my favorite choice, but it was certainly, I was unhappy for a long time. And I just wasn't the person. I think if I was the same person today, I would have been had the courage to really work with Pam and talk to her differently and really see the greatness within her. I just didn't, I couldn't see it in myself, so I couldn't see it in her, right? So, you know, again, you know, this whole self-esteem issue, I'm sure plays a major, major role in the infidelity circle and proximity, you know, people, you know, getting drunk and being out in the wrong place, wrong time, making poor choices. And then there's the other part, right? The one where your father's in a 20-year cycle where he's playing out this role, which is, again, I'm not pretending to be an expert, but I want to listen to Dr. Phil right now. And again, as we discuss this, maybe if one thing comes up for you, that you can, I'll help you understand. And it's really funny. I think Jen and I were talking about this yesterday about infidelity. And again, the only thing I've always counseled her on is just, yeah, again, be careful of proximity. Because, you know, if you're not in the proximity of something, it can never happen if you stay out of that proximity. Don't put yourself in a situation where, you know, again, especially a couple of glasses of wine are there. It doesn't matter. You know, things happen, right? You know, the question would be asked, have I ever been unfaithful? Absolutely, I have. I was much younger. Again, I could go through the reasons and what happened. I don't think it's relevant. I did go back to my partner at the time and discuss it with her, which was quite devastating. I was 19 at the time. And so it was a very, very hard discussion. I thought it was the right thing to do. You know, it happened once. Again, proximity being power. You know, here I was. I was at this woman's home a lot. We were in the same play together. I used to go down there for a cup of tea, a glass of wine. One thing led to the other, blah, 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 right? So again, you know, I really think what one of the big statistics that we all want to, with an open heart. So if you're sitting out there in judgment right now, I want you to reel that one in because it's not going to serve you. Having judgment around this is not going to help Mr. M. And hopefully by the end of this, he can have a strategy or something that's going to allow him to navigate these waters and really find his own path. Because the path of his parents is not his responsibility right now. And he can he be there for each one of them? Of course. Does he have to rebuild trust with his father? Yeah, if he want to, and I certainly would. And I'll talk about that with my own father and what I had to do with that, right? But let's listen to Dr. Phil, and then we'll keep this conversation going. So here's what he's saying.
Another one from Facebook there.
Yeah, Crystal. Crystal M. from Facebook says, I've been divorced for 3 years. When does the pain go away? How do I know when I can trust again? Well, the pain goes away when you choose for it to go away. And you can trust again when, in fact, you trust yourself enough that you believe you can handle if somebody hurts you again.
So this is big. I want you to get this, Mr. M. And the reason I played this, of course, this isn't correlating to, this is the woman who's been the subject of this. But where he's about to go right now in this piece is really about where he comes from. He's talking about having friends in a moment that are crooked. He's talking about, you know, us having the ability to sit in something with somebody who's going through something like your father and trusting ourselves enough to navigate those waters, trusting who we are and our own experience to be able to trust him again beyond this. You know, I'm sure, you know, you said you look up to him and have done for his whole life. So here's an area where he has been unfaithful. I don't know the details. I'm sure you don't know all the details right now. But again, you know, looking at this idea that when it comes back to us, how do you navigate these waters, Mr. M? And doing it in a way where it's self-trust. So as we listen to him right now, I want you to listen to the fact that he has friends that is crooked and how, and I have the same feeling when I'm around people who are, you know, shady. and I'm all right with them. I can handle it. I understand they're shady. People around them know they're shady. I still find them fascinating, right? But here we go.
Because I can't tell you when you can trust another person because they may not be trustworthy. I don't know. What I do know is it's you that you've got to trust. I have people in my life that I think are so crooked they could hide behind a corkscrew. But that doesn't mean that I have to be afraid of them, because I trust myself to be able to deal with their imperfections, to be able to deal with their dishonesty.
So look at that, you know, Mr. M, you know, being able to deal with your father's imperfections. And that's where I've got to in my own life with my own dad. You know, I spoke to him tonight. It was really funny because my son, Cal, has just started driving, and I just picked him up from his driving. He's doing a three-day driving, defensive driving program. And as I'm picking him up, I throw him straight in the car. I say, yeah, I drive home, come on. And my dad's on the phone with me through speakerphone. And I'm sort of laughing with him, and Calvin's driving, and, you know, and my dad, you know, and Calvin's really, really new. He just got his L. But I realized my relationship with my father is really one of friendship. And, you know, I can't get from my dad anything that resembles a father-son relationship. You know, I don't get the pat on the back or the look in the eye, or I'm proud of you, son. I love you, son. None of that exists and never has. But again, where have I got to? With trusting myself in this situation, right? So again, I've been talking a long time. I'm going to come back to Dr. Phil. Let's have a little listen right now to a song, and this is by John Newman. That's called cheating. And again, what we realize right now is statistics showing us a lot of you out there are doing it. And, you know, again, you know, a lot of my programs, I talk to the guys and just sort of, you know, talk to them and say, hey, buddies, you know, it's a choice. And when you want to look in the mirror at night, I mean, can you go back to the mirror and look at yourself and feel good about it? I mean, so if you're going to walk down that road of cheating, what about just going to your partner and having a chat, you know, and just saying, look, you know what? Things aren't great. This is how I'm feeling. How are you feeling? You know, what do we want to do about it? Right? Because, you know, again, I'm not a marriage counselor. I do know, I have some friends who have exceptional relationships, and I know that they would that they would not be a part of either of those stats, either one of them, the 70% or the 50 or 60%. But very few of them I see that they're extremely happy. And it's very, very hard when kids are thrown in the mix, and then jobs and bills and dogs and cats and all the other stuff that goes on that just gets in the way of life. And again, this is by no way an excuse. We're looking at finding a path for Mr. M to navigate the waters as a 32-year-old man of his parents' divorce and his dad's infidelity. Again, I haven't listened to the end part of this, so I'm actually listening, and we'll see if it's relevant. Here we go.
So you say, when can you trust again? You can trust again when you have faith in yourself that you can handle whatever comes your way. So if you get in another relationship and somebody jerks you around, they're unkind to you, they cheat on you, they lie to you, if that's going to leave you emotionally bankrupt, then you shouldn't be back out there. But if you believe in yourself enough, you have enough self-esteem, enough self-worth, that if somebody disappoints you, you'll be okay, then you can trust again. And 3 years, if it's the same pain you had on day one, you're not doing what you need to be doing. I've often said time heals nothing. It's what you do in that time.
I really like that. I want to talk about that a little bit. You know, I always talk about the mourning process, and this happened to me when I was a younger man, where somebody in my family passed away when she was 10, and I cried. I must have cried for a week, 2 weeks. I mean, millions of tears and sobbing. I didn't understand death. And I would say the mourning process now is a choice. And here's a process right now where you could become a part of your father's journey. Instead of sitting in judgment of him and somehow he's lost, you know, all of your respect for him, you could tell him the truth. You can actually find a way to build a bridge and try. Maybe not. Maybe, I don't know, your father's situation. But when I put myself in your shoes, the one thing I'm thinking is, you know, I'm going to want to be talking to both parents. I'm not going to be deciding on sides. Not that your father's right. Absolutely not. But there again, you know, what do you do? The guy has done something morally wrong. He spent a long time doing this. I would be surprised if your mother never, ever knew or suspected after 20 years. But again, I have no idea. I don't know enough of the details. But again, you know, what I see in the words you've written is looked. I look up to him. Now I looked up to him. It's a past tense. And yet there's so many elements of a father that make him, someone to look up to in so many areas of his life. And there's one area right now that he's let you down grossly. And I felt the same way with my own dad, right? I was young. I didn't have the capacity I do today. And so it took me a long time to find forgiveness. And now once I found the forgiveness model is, first of all, I don't judge myself for my own mistakes. I look at my own life and the things that I've done that I'm not proud of, the money I've stolen, the cars I've stolen, I mean, the lies I've told. And I just look at all the things that I have stacked up on my own sort of, my own dark side. And I look at those things and realize that everyone's doing the best they can with what they have. And again, not knowing your father's circumstances, but you being a kick-ass life practitioner is, you know, if you cannot sit in judgment of him, and you may feel drawn into sides. For my mom, she wanted us on her side. She wanted us to hate my father. And she was very successful because I was 7. So I didn't have a mind where I could really navigate those waters. And so I was drawn into that hatred for a long, long, long time. And I didn't see him again until I was 15. But what I realize right now is I now look at my father and I look at all of his mistakes and errors and the ways that he can be a dad. But I look at the greatness and I find the great pieces of him. And the relationship I have with him is with the great parts. And I'm not looking or yearning for him to sort of show up and suddenly be this great dad. And what I'm thinking is, you know, 32, you're young, you've got the ability to be there for your mom and help her navigate this next chapter. Hopefully, again, whether she needs to listen to the show or maybe she can't listen to a show like this, but for her to find her own inner strength and for her to not blame herself and shrivel up and sort of stop living, which a lot of women do in these kind of circumstances, or go out and just, you know, sort of close the door. The heart door is now closed. I've been devastated. I give 20 years. Her best chapter is yet to come. If she can step into that. And that's what I see so often is, you know, we get trapped in these stories. Yeah. And by the very nature of you writing the word look up, I look up to him. I imagine that you had a pretty great family growing up and that there was a lot of things that were right in that relationship. Otherwise, I think you would have been sketchy on the way you wrote that. And I would have heard a little bit more. Again, I'm guessing here because I just didn't have enough information for you, Mr. M. But, you know, I want to sort of just allow you to sort of think about your role then in this next step. How do you forgive quickly? How do you tell the truth to him and let him know how you're feeling and yet still, like Dr. Phil just talked about, you know, still trust yourself in that situation to be a part of the healing process, to be a part of the next chapter for both of them. Because, you know, every person I know has made a mistake. If you need to punch him on the chin, punch him on the chin, but get over it, let it go. And just ask him, how does he want to move forward with the relationship with you? In other words, can you have a truthful relationship with him? And can there be a level of truth that you can start to trust him? And if he says, yeah, and I'll ask him the story, find out more of the facts. Would you be willing to share with me so I understand? And maybe he will, and maybe he won't. And again, I just, for me, it's a question of getting to a level of truth. And let's pretend I've got a mate that hangs around me right now that's just a bit of a bonehead. And I can't trust him as far as I can spit. And yet I still like him. And I have helped his family and I continue to do so. I mean, and I've told him the truth a number of times. Recently, I told him a very, very dark truth about how he is and how his ability to create distrust with a lot of people and what people say behind his back. I've shared that with him in the hope to help him navigate that. But I haven't turned my back on him and pushed him completely away. I just know where he's at and I know what he's capable of. And I let him know that I know. And so now he has to navigate the waters with me, knowing that I can still find great parts of him that I can be in relationship with. Yet I have exposed the parts that are, I'm not accepting. You know, there's a great saying that says, you know, you teach people how to treat you. And so Mr. M, I suppose my question to you, you're asking this question, is how quickly can you let go of the pain? You know, it was your mom that's really dealt the brunt of this. I know. How can you look at him and sort of see all the great things about your father still, and still not tolerate this part, and sort of, you know, have full disclosure on it if he's capable? At his age, he may not be able to. My dad does not like talking about his feelings at all. So now what I have to do is I have to accept the fact that I want to still have a relationship with my dad and that we have a great friendship and there are certain doors that won't open in his heart. I'm cool with that. And I can be with him completely. And in fact, I think we have a great relationship. Yet, you know, all this other stuff, have I spoken to him about it? Yes. Did I speak to him about what happened when I was 7? Yes. Have I told him how I felt? Yes. Have I moved on? Yes. Am I carrying any hatred? No. Am I carrying any poison? No. Am I carrying regret? No. That's my choice. That's the only thing I can control right now, is to draw these very, very firm lines. Otherwise, what's the option? You're going to start hating your dad. You start walking through life with judgment. You start, you know, not trusting. And then that thing, that's like a cancer. And, you know, remember, when you hold on to anger about anyone, it's like drinking poison, expecting your, you know, somebody else to die. And then really, what do you want? What's the end result? You know, your parents are going to be divorced. And if you can be a catalyst of a bright light around the family, instead of everyone jumping in this big wallowy pit and saying, guess what? You know, life's over as we know it. Yeah, life changes, but all life changes. And it's going to, you know, the only thing that's constant in life is change. And it's always going to happen. You're always going to be tested. And then, you know, your character will be tested in that moment. Do I agree with what your father did? Absolutely not. Do I agree with your mother divorcing him? Absolutely, I do. I think that's, and a lot of women don't. A lot of women will, or men, will go back to someone and make the marriage work because they uncover what happened. And, you know, and again, the statistics are horrendous on both ends. It's not just a male or female thing. Although men do get, I always joke about this, actually. It's so funny because Jen and I were talking about this, I think, yesterday. You know, and she said about, you know, she thought men cheated more than women. And statistically, they do by 10%, but it's not like this colossal difference. And I said, but you know what's funny is who they cheat with. They cheat with women, right? And so women out there, you know, if you're with a married guy, give your head a shake, you know, and stop it, you know? And there's a lot of people out there, but if you're in a relationship with a guy that's married and you're the secret lover, stop it. Just look in the mirror today and think, you know what? Screw it. I'm going to stop. You'll find love somewhere else, but you're going to feel whole when you're with someone who's whole. And someone's got to start. Everyone's waiting for someone to go first, right? And so kick-ass life practitioners, if you're having an affair right now, stop it. Just have the courage to go and speak to your partner and just say, look, you know what? It's over. I don't want to be with you because I want to be with someone else, all right? Have the balls, have the guts, have the courage, and I'm talking about men and women, have the balls to go and speak to someone and tell them the truth and get out of there, all right? Or, you know, you just, you know, what's the other option? What's the other option? But women especially, you know, if you're, again, you're the one, the guy's married and you're having an affair with him, remember, you're making a choice right now. And I guarantee that you're going to keep attracting those types of relationships into your life, half relationships. And if he's promising you that one day he's going to leave the wife and come to you, why? Well, just wait. Don't have sex with him until he does. Just say, look, it's over. When you leave her, I'll be here waiting for you. If you really love this guy, then cut off every kind of intimacy and say, look, you know, I'll wait. Go and sort out your family. And when you'll have the courage to come back to me whole, I'll be ready for you. So Mr. M, you know, I want to play another song for you. This is called Unfaithful by Rihanna.
I see him die.
So here you go, Mr. M. I hope this is helping. Again, you know, I am no expert in this. I just know what I am an expert in is creating happiness for myself, navigating the waters of any situation that comes along. It does not matter. You know, the idea that, you know, we build ourselves internally to handle all things. And I think of all the things that go on in the world and what some people are dealing with, you know, the flight that just went down in Singapore, you know, and people losing their whole families. You know, and I look at, you know, the resilience that each one of us has to look at great adversity and have the tenacity and the courage to step into the fire and be in the fire with an enlightened perspective, be in the fire with an open heart, be in the fire with a place of no judgment, and not sort of wielding your sword of, you know, your halo sword, you know, halo in one hand and a sword in the other. Because guess what? You know what? You are going to make mistakes. It may not be this one, but you're going to make mistakes. And if you haven't and you've made no mistakes, there's a great chance that you will one day. And but even if you never have, and you're one of those rare people I've never met, and then, you know, if you've never made a mistake and you sit in judgment of the world, how happy are you? But I say it's all about tolerance. You know, I won't tolerate bullshit from anyone. So I know I'm going to draw a line. If I got something to say to someone, I'll go straight to their face. If I'm going to go talk to your dad, hey, dad, you and I need to talk. Lock the door, sit in the room, sort it out, tears. If you need to yell at each other, you need to hug each other, leave it, get rid of it and move on, because it's the future relationship is the one that's most important. Or you decide, I don't want you in my life anymore. You've hurt my mom. I don't want to be around you anymore. I don't believe that's what you want. And the truth is, you know, it is, you know, it's not going to help. It's not going to help you or anybody else, but you can say, look, I'm not going to tolerate any kind of distruth with me anymore. And if it was to happen again, I don't want to be in a relationship with you. Although I will forgive you this one again, not forgive what he did to your mom. Forgive the lies he told to you. And because you can't rebuild that bridge to your mom, and your mom's going to be a happier woman away from that. I trust me, as long as she doesn't shrivel up and quit living because she was hurt by a man. And the one thing, you know, I always say, you know, once you've been in love and you've been hurt, you know, go into your next relationship to get devastated, not just hurt, go in with both feet. But what most of us do, we get hurt. What do? We go in and we tiptoe into the next one. We creep into the one after that. We bring all the old crap with us because distrust is going to build distrust. We don't love fully. So now the person with us doesn't feel loved. So now what they're going to do, they're going to bugger off and be with someone else anyway. Again, you know, this is just my perspective. You've asked for help. I know it's a tough show in some ways, but this is, it doesn't matter. Let's take divorce out of the question. Let's take your dad out of the question. Crap happens. You know, you lose your ability to walk. You're hit by a bus tomorrow. You're paraplegic, a quadriplegic. It doesn't matter what happens. You're a burn victim. There are people out there right now who've had that happen, who the moment they open their eyes, they make a decision. And in that decision is to lead a great life. You've had something happen to you, which isn't, it's physical in your heart, but it's not directly at you particularly, right? It's between you, your mom and dad, right? But you're going to have to decide in this moment, do you want to wait a week, a month? Do you want to be upset about it? Or do you want to deal with it? And if you're going to deal with it, get through it. You can choose to get through it in a day, a week, a month. How long do you grieve anyway? You know, the grieving process is one of choice. And again, you know, the one thing that's certain is we're all going to die. And I hope that before your father passes away, that your relationship is better than it's ever been. And that because of his infidelity, you found a richer and more beautiful place to live with him in a deeper sense of truth, a deeper sense of discovery, and knowing that, yeah, has he done a bad thing? Yeah. And what, we're going to crucify him? No. But are we going to tolerate anything else? No. So again, it's up to you, Mr. M. Hopefully this has helped. And listen, don't forget, if you want to help the show, you can leave a review on iTunes. And if you want to win a 1 hour free coaching with me on any subject, it can be on money, it can be on creating wealth, it can be on network marketing, it can be on sex. I don't care what it is. You want to talk to me? All you got to do is take a screenshot of your review and post it on my new show page, which is Amplified Network Marketing. Just post it on there. You'll be put onto a draw, and I'm going to do 1 free hour of coaching every month. And again, you choose the subject. We can do it either on the show or we can do it quietly, privately, when no one ever hears it. It's up to you. And I'm going to be in Australia, in Perth and Sydney, working all through the month of May, 2 4.5-day programs, Amplify Train the Trainer. It'll amplify your leadership. It'll amplify your finances. It'll amplify your ability to attract what you want into your life, your happiness. And it will teach you the systems and templates to become a master trainer in front of any size audience, whether it's one-on-one, one on a small group, a one on a large group, one on 1,000, one on 10,000, you will become powerful. Absolutely life-changing. You can go to amplifiednetworkmarketing.com/events, find out about the programs in Australia, or you can contact Casey, casey.amplified@gmail.com, my business manager, casey.amplified@gmail.com. And he can let you know and help you navigate your decisions on any programs we're doing. And don't forget, in July, I'm going to be Amplified Island Adventure. I think there's only 2 spots left. Again, I haven't checked, but I'm going to keep talking about it because I want a waiting list for the next one. So with that being said, you know, hey, talking about that, this is really funny. I'm going to actually dedicate this show. Mr. M, obviously it's coming to you, and I appreciate you so much for your question. But I also bumped into Adrian today, and I heard, I wish I could remember her boyfriend's name. I didn't meet him. She spoke about him. Guessing it was Lance. Something like that. Anyway, I was in a hairdresser's. I had a haircut, and I noticed this girl. I complimented her on her boots. And as I'm checking out, she saw my name on the computer. She says, "David Wood?" I said, "Yep." She said, "I'm coming to Amplified Island Adventure in Belize in July with my boyfriend." I said, "No way." So I gave her a big squeeze and hug. We'd never met before. Small world. So Adrian, I'm going to put this out to you. Hopefully you'll hear the show. And I want to thank you for coming, and I want to thank you for trusting me, and I want to thank you for listening to the show. So with that being said, I'll definitely see you all on the other side.
That was kick-ass.